Yo, what up, Street Talks? Eric Kim. All right, so the thought. The thought is, why live forever? Why do we want to live forever? What does it mean to live forever? And if we lived forever, how would we endure it? So lots of interesting ideas for us to unpack. So first and foremost, I think people want to live forever, not necessarily because they want to live forever for the sake of living forever. It's more like they're just afraid of death, because death is the unknown. But, I mean, my thought on death is, it's probably like a light bulb. Once you're dead, boom, it all goes to black, right? And what is the feeling of death? The feeling of death or being dead is the same feeling of never being born. So it's not that much of a secret or a surprise. Look at these litter bugs. Like the American Beauty scene, right? All right, so I think people are afraid of death and afraid of the beyond, but once you've conquered the fear of death, or you conquered the fear of pain, then what do you really got to fear? So let me just kind of unpack some thoughts. So first and foremost, life is good. Yo, check out this light, that's beautiful. Oh man, the sun actually feels really good. Yeah, so actually life is good. I think if we kind of zoom out long enough, I think most of us, the reason why we want to live forever is because we want more time to work on what we're passionate about, what we care about. Like my niece Amelia used to say, wow, so beautiful. So we want more time to work on our creative projects and things we care about. So dude, fucking now, we have so much fucking time. We have all the fucking time in the world. If anything, like even for myself, I'm self-employed. Dude, the days feel like forever. Like each day feels like almost 2 days. And towards the end of the day, like sometimes I'm actually a little bit bored. I'm like, I already made like 10 YouTube videos. I've already wrote like 6 blog posts, and I've already read like a book. And like, what else is there to do? So a lot of the time I'm actually just a little bit bored because I've used up all the time, or I just kind of run out of energy. I'm just like, oh, I'm just exhausted. I just want to go to sleep. So I guess that's a enviable position to be in, but just practically speaking, you know, I think right now living in COVID times, it's interesting because it's almost kind of like we are living in simulated God mode, where we're kind of like living like the immortals, where it almost feels like life feels very, very long. And the question is, can you endure this life where we just have so much free time and opportunities? This is my favorite tree. Yo, Bob Ross would love to paint that tree right there. And so for me, thinking about life and immortal life, it's kind of a silly pursuit, because what's the difference between living, you know, to be 70 or 80 or 90 or 100, 110, 120 or 300 years or 3,000 years? Certainly, I mean, obviously we want to keep making stuff, but if I just think about this historically, it looks like the most important things in life, or the most important artworks, there's actually not that many important ones. So, you know, what I consider the great works of art, so the great poetry by the Romans and the Greeks. So, you know, if you think about Homer's Iliad and Odyssey, I mean, he's a rare exception who made two great artworks in his life. Um, Or you think about Lucretius, who wrote On the Nature of Things, which I'm currently reading, which actually inspires me a lot. Or you think about, the epistles from Seneca, or you think about Meditations from Marcus Aurelius. I do think that in life, as long as you make one great artwork, you've essentially done your job in life. And for us to desire to live forever, I think it's just a little bit greedy and unnecessary, because just because you live forever, I don't think most of us could do anything really super meaningful by living forever. And certainly it's in the human nature to want to live as long as we can, but I think the notion of trying to live forever is kind of an aesthetically repulsive idea to me. Because once again, like, let's assume the maximum natural human lifespan is 120 years. You know, there's dudes who've lived that long in the past. So we certainly know that's possible without, you know, sipping on baby stem cell juice or having a blood boy or whatever. But it seems that a lot of people want to go beyond that. So, you know, 300 years, 1,000 years, I'm just like, yo, that's just too much time. And even Nietzsche said, you know, if a man has 70 years of life, that's sufficient for him to work on important philosophical ends and needs and wants and desires and stuff like that. So I kind of agree with him. The basic benchmark, I think, is simple. 70 years. If you've lived to be 70 years old, like, consider yourself lucky. After 70 years, everything is just kind of upside. And if we, you know, one of the things I learned from chess is treat chess treat life like a chess game, is that you work on the end game backwards. So apparently the chess masters, you know, a lot of newbies study chess openings. Apparently the really, really great grandmasters, they look at the end game and they work backwards. So similarly, I think, you know, I look at great philosophers that I've seen. So, you know, certain things which I consider pretty admirable. It's a little bit unfortunate that one of my favorite Nietzsche's, he essentially, like, became insane towards the end of his life and just kind of died of pneumonia or something like that. It's a little bit tragic. Seneca was essentially forced to commit suicide. I don't know how Marcus Aurelius died. Maybe he died in battle or whatever. So essentially, considering our short human lifespans, and considering that ultimately everything waxes and wanes, which means gets bigger or smaller, and ultimately nothing lasts forever. Now, just because nothing lasts forever doesn't mean that we should be like, oh, okay, everything's not gonna last forever, so that what's the point of doing anything? I think it's still worth pursuing. I think that is where our human grandeur, this is where our human spirit comes into play, where we want to go beyond. We want to maximize our artistic potential. We want to maximize our power. And, actually one of my favorite books from Nietzsche is actually The Will to Power, which is actually technically not a real book because it's just a collection of, like, rough ideas he had, and it was stitched together later by some, like, friends and editors and his sister and stuff like that. So, but I think that the thoughts on them are raw and very interesting, is that essentially that us humans and organisms and life in general has a will to power and a will to overpower, which means we want to augment ourselves, we want to get bigger, we want more resources, which kind of makes a lot of sense from, like, a capitalistic perspective. But, you know, I know for myself, my personal will to power, I mean, it's super basic. Like, I just want to increase my muscle mass, I want to increase my mind, I want to maybe increase my impact. But even so, like, a lot of these great Roman poets during their lifetimes, the good ones, right? Like Horace, you know, they weren't really, or Ovid or Ovid, I don't think they're really actually praised that much during their lifetimes, as much as these other comic poets. So it's kind of like, you know, high art isn't necessarily gonna get to do in a lifetime. Ooh, check out these trees. So realize that in life, who knows, maybe you can't even achieve fame or appreciation in this lifetime. Maybe you'll only be recognized after you die, which has happened a lot, right? Like Vincent Van Gogh and stuff like that. And so it comes to the question is, if you live a life where, you know, you use all your might and all your soul and all your being to create great artworks or things for others, and you're not appreciating your lifetime, is it still worth pursuing? Is it still worth doing? I think it is. I think for me, it's just kind of my personal belief is, I believe that all of humanity and the future humanity is a trillion times more important than me and my petty pain and suffering and my you know, small complaints and stuff like that, which means I shouldn't waste none of my lives complaining or bemoaning my tragedy, my difficulty, my downsides, but rather transform and transfigure all this pain, suffering, difficulty into more creative inspiration, more creative ideas, more creative strength, and more ways to empower myself and future generations of humanity. And so I think the goal is magnanimity. So magnanimity meaning greatness or bigness. So it's interesting because, you know, people are like, oh, don't be petty, right? Petty just means small, petite, small. So just don't be small. Don't worry about the small stuff. Care about the big stuff. Care about the grand things, the things that will last in time, things will last in history. And it's interesting. It's like, what does history even mean? So the etymology of history essentially means to judge, to decide, he who picks and filters. So I find it a very interesting notion because, you know, ultimately historians of the future will determine what's important, what's not important and stuff like that. But I think there are certain strategies which we could do in order to increase our chances for being remembered for longer periods of time. So what are some of these practical strategies? I think the first one is to not compromise. I think as an artist, to compromise is suicide or it's sudden death. Is that once you start to try to placate the masses, in a few years you'll instantly be forgotten. So consider, right? All these pop legends and stars, once they start to try to placate their audiences, like, you know, maybe Black Eyed Peas and stuff like that, ain't nobody remember them no more. But who do we still remember? Kanye West, Jay-Z, Eminem. Why? Because they followed their own creative spirit and they only created what they wanted to create without regard for what other people might like and so forth. And to me, this is such an important thought because you know, generally pop sensations kind of come and go really quickly, but who's being able to stay in the game? Longevity seems to be a much more interesting goal. So it looks like the noble goal we aim towards is longevity. Now, what is longevity? To me, longevity, it's simple. Anyone who's able to stay in the game for at least 30 years. So Dr. Dre, one of my big inspirations, how has he been able to stay prolific for 30 years? He just essentially lives like a Zen monk. He just tuned out the external world outside of him, and he works on his art and doesn't compromise. And he only works on stuff that he considers good enough for himself. Oh, the sun feels so nice right now. Also, what I find so interesting with living in COVID times, dude, nature don't give a fuck about us. It's like nature is doing just well. The sun is beaming. The plants is growing. The plants aren't freaking out. So why should we freak out? So yeah, it looks like the ultimate success is durability, longevity, and also it's just a very practical filter to just save your time. In terms of finding personal inspiration for yourself, it looks like the best inspiration to find is follow those who have been relevant for long periods of time. So this is why it's good to study the classics. Classics never die. You know, Horace, I think he wrote like 2,000 years ago, and we still read his poems today. We'll probably read his poems for another 2,000 years at least, like a la Nassim Taleb's Lindy rule. You could judge or kind of predict how long something will exist based on seeing how long it's already existed. So I've been blogging for like a decade now. I'll probably be relevant for at least another decade. Who knows, after that, I might fall into obscurity. So some other thoughts in terms of longevity and being able to just stay in the game is, you know, if you live long enough, first of all, you're going to contradict yourself. You're going to have other interests and stuff like that. And so it looks like the ultimate goal isn't for you to become a master of a genre or an expert in anything, but it's for you to become a master of yourself. It's for you to promote yourself. So even this is what I realized for a long time, you know, obviously I'm promoting street photography. I'm still passionate about it and photography. But ultimately, it's not even about photography or street photography or anything like that. It's about me. It's about Eric Kim. And, you know, people are interested to know who I am. Even people who come to my workshops, they just kind of like me as a person. And they also like watching these YouTube videos and stuff like that and feel like there's a personal connection. And, you know, even people like, you know, Tony Robbins. Why do people love Tony Robbins? Maybe the stuff he says, but they just seem to like him as a person. And Nassim Taleb says something like, you know, not everything happens for a reason, but everything survives for a reason, and everyone survives for a reason. So even if you look at anybody who you consider like kind of scammy or a snake oil salesman-y, but then they've been able to stay in the game for a real long time, there's probably a good hidden reason why, or some sort of hidden logic. Oh, so another example. So a lot of these religious laws and spiritual laws, you know, they seem to make no sense, but they seem like they've helped people survive and at least survive for long periods of time. Like even kosher halal rules, apparently it was a way to prevent the spread of disease, which means the people who followed these rules probably survived longer than those who didn't. And so, yeah, just thinking about your life. Ultimately, survival is the goal. Don't let pettiness get beyond you and consider yourself magnanimous and great, because use big, use magnanimous, use great. life goes on.